Today's Shi'ez Masech Davar Dazar Daf Samach Beis. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis. I'm an Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Seiches Apoyel. If a Nachri hired a Jewish worker, Lasasimoy, to work with him, B'yayin Nesach, to work with him on wine that we've been learning is Asur, he asked him to do whatever activity involved with Yayin Nesach. The Aloch is Choroi. The wages that this person is paid are awesome. Actually, as the Mefarshim point out, the wording of the Mishnah is sort of not clear because Hasoiches Apoyel doesn't tell us who is the employer and who is the employee. It's obvious that it means that the employer is the Nachri and the employee is the Jew, but what it should have said was Hamasker atzmei lasis malacha, that if somebody gives himself up to do work on Yayin Nesach, the halacha is schara asur, that his wages are asur. So why doesn't the Mishnah explain itself that way? So Farshim explain that if it would have said that wording, is that that wage is only asur to that employee, but the rest of the world could have benefit. Or moreover, another pshat I saw the Mefarshim suggest is if the Mishnah would have used that wording, it would be assumed that only if he volunteered to work, if a Jew volunteered to work for under such circumstances, is the halacha that his wages are asur. But if he didn't volunteer, he was just hired, it may be different. Teaches us the Mishnah that under all circumstances, if a Jew is working with Yayin Nesach, the halacha is that the wine is asur. Up to the degree that I saw some of Farshim explain that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that what would be the halacha if when he was hired, he was told that you're going to work with a different type of material. And it turns out that the Nachri fooled him. And he said, I'm hiring you to work with oil, for example. And he ended up working with wine. The halacha will be that his wages are asur anyway. And the reason his wages are asur is because, as we're learning, benefiting from stam yenom is asur under all circumstances. Says the Mishnah, however, sachar lasi may malacha acheres, he was hired for a different position, afa pishamalai, and even though he was hired for another job, and that's the job that he's actually doing. But in the middle he tells him, here, transport some wine from one place to the other place. The halacha is schare mutter, since, and we're going to learn the Gemara, since he wasn't hired to work with wine, even though he ended up doing some work with the wine, he would not be usher. Says the Mishnah further, soiches hachamor, if somebody rents a donkey from a Jew, lahavila yayin nesach, with the purpose that this should be used to carry Yayin Nesach, the halacha is schari asur, the wages, the amount that he gets for payment for that is asur. Sachra, but if the donkey was hired, leishavalov, just to be used to sit on it, avpi, and the Nachri just rented it, and even though the Nachri then uses that, avpi sheniach oved chachavim leginoi, even though ultimately the Nachri put on his Yayin Nesach on it, then the halacha will be schari mutter, that he's allowed to get paid for what he did. The Mishnah speaks about a case, as we just described, of a soiches apoyel, that if somebody hired a worker to work with Yayin Nesach. Rashi, in discussing the case of our Mishnah, says that the case is that if the Nachri hired the Jew to transport or do whatever work with the Yayin Nesach, the wages he receives are also b'hanah. So Rav Shlomo Kluger Zatzal tries to understand why does Rashi specifically describe that the Mishnah speaking about a case that the Jew is working for a Nachri. The halacha ought to be, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, if a Jew was hired by another Jew to work with Yayin Nesach, it should be the same halacha. So Reb Shlomo Kluger quotes a Rosh. He says that if one sells Isura No, something that would not have any benefit from, such as Orla, the sale is a Mekach Tos, and the higher transaction is voided, the money has to be refunded. Says the Rosh, that if the buyer was aware that what he was buying was Asur B'Hanah, then the money doesn't have to be refunded. Even though you can't really sell, do a transaction with something which has no value, something Asur B'Hanah, still says the Rosh, the money need not be refunded because we assume that under those circumstances, the buyer intended that the money be a gift because he knew that he was buying something that had no value. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, the same could be understood in our Mishnah. If a Jew hires workers to work with Yayin Nesach, which is Asur B'Hanah, so the employer is aware that this has no value. So he has nothing to pay for. What must it be? That he's giving the wages to the employee as a gift. So therefore, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, we can well understand what is a difference in the halacha, and that's why Rashi is mentioning it. There's a difference in halacha if the employer is a Jew versus if the employer is a Nachri. If the employer is a Nachri, it's not understood that he meant to give the wages as a gift. And therefore, the halacha is that he's not entitled to the wages. In the case of a Jew, it would be like the Rosh says with Orla, that it would be considered an example of something that's a gift. So the question, of course, is, as we are now discussing, if somebody works, we're learning that why is the Jew not entitled to get wages? Because you can't get wages when you're working with something which is Asur B'Hanah. What would be the halacha if somebody is hired in many different situations? The question comes up. Well, somebody is hired to work in a cemetery, and we know that a mace is Asur B'Hanah. So since the mace is Asur B'Hanah, so how could somebody get paid for working with a mace? And we're learning now that if you ever work with something which is Asur B'Hanah, you're not entitled to get paid. So this question is actually touched upon in our Gemaras in Mitzvah Shem, primarily on Daf Samech Dalad. But the Mefarshim, the Paiskim, give a number of answers. The simplest answer, which I think is what Rabbi Kiva Eger means to say, is the Torah says, Kikova Tigberenu. The Torah, by saying the words Kikova Tigberenu, is saying there's a mitzvah to bury a nifter. When the Torah is telling us that there's a mitzvah to bury the nifter, there's a rule throughout Shas that when the Torah tells you to do something, when the Torah tells you it's a mitzvah, one cannot say, well, I'm not allowed to do it. If the Torah went out of its way to say, that we have an obligation to bury a nifter, what the Torah is saying is there is a mitzvah to do this. So when the Torah says there's a mitzvah to do it, there we can't say that you can't get paid to do what the Torah told you to do. Another teretz, which is going to be very related to what we discuss in the Gemara, is that the isser of getting paid to work with something that you're not allowed to work with is only said by rights of b'kiyumai. When what you are working with is Asur B'Hanah, but you want it to continue existing. The Yayin Nesach is a perfect example. When you want that Yayin Nesach to be here, because if the Yayin Nesach won't be here, you won't have what to get paid for. But in a situation where you're not interested in it should remain here, the nifter that you're burying, so you're not interested in the nifter remaining, you're interested in getting rid of the nifter, so there's a halacha that there's no halacha that you're not allowed to get the wages from it. Another explanation is that you're getting schar b'teila. Many times the Torah speaks about one not being allowed to get paid for doing something that we're supposed to do. The Gemara says that for teaching Torah, one should not get paid, because the pasuk says, the Gemara says, ma'ani b'chinam, just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu does not get paid to teach us Torah, so should we not get paid to teach Torah. And the reason we're allowed to get paid to teach Torah is because it's Chab Taylor. We could have been doing, or we would have been doing something else at that time. So that's a concept that we could apply here by doing a mitzvah that you're of burying the nifter, you're entitled to Schar B'Teila. But that is not something that you could say when it comes to working with Stam Yainam. Another teretz is that the, very similar to what we said before, the Maram Shik says this, since the relatives have an obligation to bury the nifter, but sometimes, or most times, the relatives themselves cannot do what they're obligated to do. Since they can't do what they're obligated to do, so he's only acting as a shliach of those relatives. And therefore, he's entitled to get paid. Another explanation, which is also similar, Demir Yosher from Amei Arik Zitzal says that when it involves a mitzvah, it's of course very different. Working with Yain Nesach is actually an aveira. And here, it's a mitzvah. And since it's a mitzvah, you're entitled to get paid. Another explanation is that the person in our Gemara is not benefiting from, the person who's bearing a nifter is not benefiting from that. And since he's not benefiting from that, the halacha is we have more reason to be lenient and not say that it's asur. Says the Gemara, my tama, schar asoy. So ask the Gemara, why is the halacha that if somebody who works for the nochri with the yayin nesach is the wages that he receives asur bahano, ilema? And in order to understand the coming Gemara, we have to introduce that there are two concepts in halacha when somebody gets paid. One is damim and one is schar. Damim is that the person that you are receiving, you get, it's more like a transaction. I give something and I get something in return. Schar is what we know as wages. And when we speak about halacha, the halacha is that if you get something as domim, as something as a transaction, it's considered much more serious when it's something that you're working with that's osur versus when it's just schar, versus when it's just wages. So says the Gemara, ilema, it will say, hoyel yayin nesach osur b'hano, since the halacha is that, as we've been learning, that yayin nesach is osur b'hano, that's why schoroi, the wages you receive for yayin nesach, are also osur. So ask the Gemara, so if that's the case, Orla, which is Osur Bahano, Kale Kerem, which is Osur Bahano, Tian, yet we learned in the Mishnah, Machron, if somebody sold Orla fruit or Kale Kerem fruit and got paid for it, the Kiddush B'demeim, and he used those that money to be Mekadosh and Isha, Mekadeshes. So we see that money that you get for something that's Osur Bahano is money that you're allowed to keep, and therefore you can be Mekadosh a woman with that. And the Mishnah Masechta Kedushin teaches us that even though we're learning now this leniency, that if you sold Orla or Kali Kerem, you could be and you could be Mekadosh a woman with the money you receive, that's only if you do it in the fashion that we just discussed. But let's say you would actually use Orla fruit or Kali Kerem fruit to be Mekadosh a woman, there everybody would agree that it's not a valid Kedushin. The only case that we're talking about is the case that we're speaking about here, where you're using the money that you got for selling it. Because even though these are Isurei Noah, and Isurei Noah should be considered something that has no value, and therefore there should be no Kedusha, this thumb should not have value. Still, the Mishnah says the halacha is that the money is considered money that is yours to the degree that you could use it to be mekadosh a woman, because that is always the first prerequisite for money to be used for Kedushin, it has to be money that belongs to you. So we see that it is a legitimate. Says the Gemara, Hoyel V'Toyfus Estomav. Says the Gemara, Kavoydus Kechavim. So Gemara says there's a new consideration. And that is the consideration that the money that one receives for Avodah Zorah gets the status of Avodah Zorah. The same thing, the money one receives for Yayin Nesach gets the status of Yayin Nesach. And since it gets the status of Yayin Nesach, it's also B'Hanah. Ask the Gemara if that's the way you're going to explain Reish Shvi'is. If somebody sells Shemitah produce, the money gets Kedusha Shvi'is. Reish Shvi'is the Tefes Estamim, and yet in still Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Shvi'is Perichas Mishnah Dalet teaches us, Haim L'Poyel, if somebody tells his worker, Heilich Dinazer, take this money, V'Lekaitli B'Yerek Hayoim, and collect for me vegetables that are Shemitah produce, the money that the worker received cannot be kept after his man habir. The halacha is that Shemitah produce can only be kept until the amount of time that it's available in the field. After that time, it's called after his man habir, which means kolala chayim in asada, when it's no longer available in the field, kolala, then we have to burn it. Money that one received in exchange for Shemitah, that we're learning now, has on it Kedusha Shvi'is, will have the same halacha, which means that that money will be connected to the Zman Bir of the produce it was received for. So if the produce that it was received for has Zman Bir, that money has the same Zman Bir as the Shemitah produce it was reserved for. So again, but says the Mishnah, if he said l'koit liyarek hayoim, if he says collect for me vegetables today, and he didn't say the words l'koit liboy yarek, so he didn't make it into domim, he made it into schar, he made it into wages. And as we said a few moments ago, there's a difference in halacha between wages, schar, and domim. Domim, whatever is the status of the Shemitah produce, if you sell domim by saying boy hayoim, it gets the same status as the Shemitah with the Zman Bir that we explained. If you only said l'koitli hayoim, yerek hayoim, so you're only asking him to do a job for you, but you didn't connect the money to the Shemitah produce, and therefore, halacha is the wages are mutter. So, if that's the case, we're saying that wherever there's a concept of tfisas domim, that the money obtains the status of the thing that you're exchanging it for, that's when it becomes asur, and that's why our Mishnah is being so strict with Yayin Nesach, because Yayin Nesach is like Avodah Zorah with its tfisas domim. So ask the Gemara, Shvi'is is also an example with his Tfisas Domim. And yet we see here that we're not that strict. It says the Gemara, Amar Avu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Knasu, Shekonsul Chachamim, Bechamoram, B'yayin Nesach. The way to understand our Mishnah is the Chazal were particularly strict with B'yayin Nesach. And the explanation is, because B'yayin Nesach, as we've been explaining, is similar to Avodah Zorah. And just like we see throughout our Masechta how strict Chazal were with Avodah Zorah, Chazal were particularly strict with Yayin Nesach as well. Says the Gemara, Yayin Nesach Chod Amorin, Chamorin Mahi, what is meant with Chamorin? That the Gemara is saying that they were strict with Chamorim as well. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, HaChamorim Sha'oisim Malach V'Per Shvi'is, if donkey drivers were doing work with Shemitah produce, schar and shvius, the wages have the status of shvius. Says the Gemara, my schar and shvius. What was meant when the Braisa says schar and shvius? In lame of the Yavin lo schar, the pair of shvius, if it means that we pay them with shvius produce, how could that be? Asked the Gemara. Nimtza zeparei choyvim pair of shvius. That would mean that somebody's paying off his obligation, he's paying his workers with Shvi'is Peiris. The Torah Amra, and the Torah says regarding Shemitah produce, for Hoysa Shabbos Ha'aretz Lechem La'achla. From here we learn La'achla for Laila Schaira, that we can't use the Perish Shvius for cameras to pay work to pay workers. Says the Gemara, Ella the Kiddush Scharin, that the Kedusha Shvius, that indeed, says the Gemara, the workers get paid to do that, the workers get paid and the payment will have Kedusha Shvius on it. Ask the Gemara, Mikadosh, is that true that the wages have Kedusha Shvius? But Tanya, the Mishnah, Masechta Shvius, which is the Mishnah we quoted a few moments ago, Perches Mishnah Dal says, if he says his wages and collect vegetables in the Shemitah year, the loch is schuri mutter, because it doesn't get Kedusha Shvius on it. However, again, and the wording of how this worker was hired is critical. And therefore, if he used the words lekoitli yerek boy hayoyim, so now what's happening is that this is a situation of domim, where the money is being exchanged for the Perish Shvius. So then the money gets Kedusha Shvius and Tzcharai Asur. So ask the Gemara, what does it mean when it said Tzchar and Shvius? Says the Gemara, what was that mean? Amar Ba'il Olam has Shavina Loi Tzchar Perish Shvius. We give the worker Perish Shvius as wages. There was a question. How could that possibly be permitted? Or the Kakashalach, the question we asked, that the Torah Kedosha says, La'ochla v'loyla schayra, that we can't use Shvius produce for paying off wages, says the Gemara, the Yav Nilei B'tzad Heter, that was given in a way that it's mutter. Kiritnan, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that there is a possibility of being able to pay wages with Shemitah produce, that it shouldn't have the Kedusha Shvius. Kedetanan, as the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Maaseh Sheni, Paragimel Mishnah Aleph, regarding Maaseh Sheni. We know that the mitzvah Maaseh Sheni is that in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, after the Truma Gedola is removed and after Maaseh Rishon is removed, we have to take what's left over from the remainder, Maaseh Sheni, and take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. If, however, it's difficult to take the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim, the halach is you could be poydi, you could redeem the Maaseh Sheni, and take the money that you receive in redemption to Yerushalayim, and use it in Yerushalayim to buy either food to eat in Yerushalayim, or to buy animals for carbon shlomim. So says the Mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni that you have to take that produce up to Yerushalayim and eat it b'tahara. And the Mishnah says there, La'yayma adam l'chaveri, one person shouldn't say to another person, Halli peris halalu, Yerushalayim, take up these fruits that are Maaseh Sheni produce to Yerushalayim, l'chalek. And you'll, for doing so, you'll get paid from the Maaseh Sheni. You'll get some Maaseh Sheni produce. Because what that is, you're getting paid with Maaseh Sheni produce. And we're not allowed to pay off, one is not allowed to pay off an obligation with Maaseh Sheni produce. And the reason, again, is that one is not allowed to do schayra, one is not allowed to do business with payers of Maaseh Sheni. Another explanation is that they're supposed to be used to be eaten or to use for kabbonis, not to do business. Avamoy, but he can tell somebody else, Halein, take these fruits of Maaseh Sheni, lochem l'shtoisam, that you and I will eat together these produce in Shalayim. If the wording was said that way, so it's not like he's paying off a wage with Maaseh Sheni produce. He's not paying wages with Maaseh Sheni produce. He's just telling this person, you and I are going to eat together in Yerushalayim. And therefore it's considered, he's giving him Maaseh Sheni as produce, and the halach is that if somebody is bringing produce, Maaseh Sheni produce to Yerushalayim, which we just finished explaining, it's supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. The halacha is that you don't have to eat it yourself. You could share it with other people. And the same thing will be by the Perish Shvius. If the person who asked the worker to work for him doesn't tell him, I'm going to pay you a Perish Shvius, but he says, we'll eat the Perish Shvius together, then it's mutter. And that's what the Braisa meant when it says you could do it Perish Shvius. Rava Maloilam the Kaddish, that the payment that this person receives is has Kedusha Shvius. The Kaddish, and the question that we asked, Poyel, that the Loch is that if you were hired to work, if you hired a worker, then the Loch is that if it was done as schar, not as domim, the Loch is, we learned earlier in our shiur today, that it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. Says the Gemara, there's a difference. Poyel, the Loi Nafish Agri, somebody who was just hired to collect produce, like in Sur Rabbanan, and he was hired with schar, not with domim. Chazal did not make a knas in that situation that the payer should have kedusha shvius. Chamorim, however, people who drive the donkey, the nafesh agrayu, that they're going to get paid a significant amount. So there, Chazal said that even though it's a schar, even though it's a salary, which we keep on saying salary is a lot more lenient than domim, but since tzchar for getting paid is for transporting shvius is a much more significant job and a much higher paid job, that's why Kansur Rabbanim by Chazal made a iser. So there are many explanations in the Rishonim why they're stricter with chamorim than with collecting payers. One explanation that I saw that the Ramban suggests, that here when they were asked to transport the Perish Shvius, it's after the Zman Bir. And therefore it's stricter than when they're just collecting, which is before the Zman Bir. Taisvis says that, simple, donkey drivers were a lucrative job, and they got paid more. And that's why Chazal was stricter than people who just collect fares and yarukas from the field. Wasn't such a well-paying job. Another explanation is the explanation that I saw from the Ritva. What we keep on seeing in our Gemara is that the Chazal, the Torah, was very concerned that we should not have business, we should not have schayra done with Perish Shvius. So says the Ritva, if somebody just collecting Perish Shvius on behalf of somebody else, what's going to be done with that Perish Shvius? What's going to be done with that Perish Shvius is that the person who you're collecting for will eat those Perish Shvius. However, when you have somebody transporting Perish Shvius, what happens when you have somebody transporting Perish Shvius, what really happens is that the Perish Shvius are transported and it causes that much business should be done with the Perish Shvius. They're taken to a place where they could be sold and used for income. And Chazal, therefore, who was so anxious not to see business done with Perish Shvius, was stricter, therefore, on the donkey driver of the Perish Shvius versus the person who's just collecting Perish Shvius. Ask the Gemara, Umas Nisan, and our Mishnah said that anybody who works with Yai Nesach, his wages are also Bahanah. Why? If the work is not so significant, the way we're learning now in the Gemara, if the work is not that significant, then Chazal didn't make an Isser, says the Gemara, as we keep on explaining. Chumra, the Yai Nesach Shvius. Chumra, the Yai Nesach Shani. Chazal were very concerned about Yai Nesach throughout, and as we said earlier in our shir, because it's a situation of that's like Avodah Zarah. And since it's considered like Avodah Zarah, that's why Chazal were particularly strict in such situations, but it has nothing to do with anything else. Here we're learning how Chazal were so, had Aloch is strict, that you can't use Perish Shvius for anything but just eating them. And you can't use it to pay off a debt. So I saw that the Shaalos HaTshuvos Mishnas Yosef asks a question. But Peirush Shviyos, as we often say in our shiurim, the halacha is that you're allowed to eat Peirush Shviyos. You're just not allowed to do business with Peirush Shviyos. So the question is, could one use Peirush Shviyos to give Shalach Manos? So he says that the halacha is that you should really not use Peirush Shviyos to give Shalach Manos, because we are obligated to give Shalach Manos, and we're obligated to give Matanos Lavyoinim. And if you are using the Peirush Shviyos for that purpose, what it means is that you're using Peirush Shviyos to pay off you're using Peirush Shviyos to pay off your debt. So he says that L'chatchila wants you therefore not use Peirush Shviyos to give Shalach Manos. But B'di'evit, he says that if somebody did use Peirush Shviyos for that, it's the mutter to be eaten, and it's also considered that you fulfilled the mitzvah. Iboilhu, ask the Gemara, Sachar l'stam yeinam, if a Nachri hired a Jew to work with stam yeinam, says the Gemara, Mahu, Mimrinan, do we say, Kivin desur ucham k'din yinesach, we've been learning throughout our perek, our prokim, that stam yeinam is treated like yayin nesach, and therefore in that case, schar and nami asur, adema hoil v'tumasa kill, the halacha of stam yeinin, doesn't have the same level of tumah as stam yeinam. So therefore we'll say, af scharon namikil will be lenient with the wages that are received, and we won't say that the wages are also. And Tosus points out, the way to understand the Gemara is only speaking about a b'diyevit situation. There is no question, says Tosus, the l'chatchila, one should not get wages for working for stam yeinam. But unlike the Mishnah, the Gemara's question is that maybe here, if somebody did get wages for working with stam yeinam, we could be lenient b'diyevet. Toshma, the hu gavra, the aga arbel stam yeinam. He rented out his boat for stam yeinam, and yav lechita ba'agra. And the people who rented the boat paid him with chitim. Also kamei the Rav Chisda. And now the question was brought to Rav Chisda, could somebody benefit from these chitin? Amalei, and Rav Chisda told him, Zil kalinu, go burn these chitin, v'kavrinu bekavri. Don't just burn it, but you have to bury it. That's how strict they were with stam yeinam. Says the Gemara, v'lei malei, badrinu, why don't you just throw them away? Answers the Gemara, as we learned previously in our Masechta, the concern is also the color. We may end up using it improperly. Why is it that we may use it improperly? Because it may fall into somebody else's field, and that will be used as fertilizer. Says the Gemara that would be used as wheat. I'll have wheat that I'll find on my field. So says the Gemara, the way we could avoid that is v'leklinu v'levedrinu, burn it and then disperse it. Says the Gemara, as we just said, there's still a concern. Dilma mizbelenabu will end up using it for fertilizer. Says the Gemara, v'legrinu beinayu, why shouldn't it be sufficient that we should just bury it? Miloy tanya, have we not learned in a braisa that the various items, objects, that were used to kill somebody in a bezdin, because they were used to kill somebody, the loch is echer even sheniskaba, the stone that somebody was chayv skila was killed with, echer eitz shenitlalov, the tree that he was hung on, echer tzayv shenerigbay, or the person was chayv misa saif, the sword that he was used, echer tzuda shenechnigbay, the material that was used for strangulation. They're all buried together with the victim, because all these items become osabana. And we see from here that even though we have something that's osabana, it's enough just to burn them, and we don't have to do any more. So why over here did Rav Chisda say that we have to first burn them and then bury them? Answers the Gemara. Hasam the Kakavri Beidina. There they were buried by Bezdin. Bezdin had a special cemetery where the people who were executed by Bezdin were buried. And not only were the people who were executed by Bezdin buried there, the different objects that were used to kill them were buried in that Bezdin. So Milsa, when we find something in that cemetery, it's obvious that Ruge Bezdin and who, that these were items that were used to kill, and people will stay away from them. Hocha, whereas in our case, when you just find chitim on the floor, loy mecha milsa, you don't know where those came from. Emer, inish ganva asa, maybe somebody stole it, v'aisa kavra hocha, and they just buried it. And therefore, the person doesn't think that it's asur. And in order to avoid that problem, Chazal said that you have to burn it and nobody should come to use it. So the question is, if I see something, why would I take it? Isn't it something that I'm not allowed to take something that belongs to somebody else? So the answer is that if it was found just on the street, the assumption is that the owner, not knowing that I have no way of knowing that this was just left there because it was us to be used, I'll think that the owner forgot it there and he was miyash. And therefore, I'm going to come to use it. And since I may come, chas v'shalom, to use it, which we're not allowed to use it, it's connected to Yayin Nesach, that's why the halach is they have to be burnt first. I saw that we know many people have the minig that when they do bedikas chametz, they have a candle and they have a spoon that they use to help them do bedikas chametz. And when we burn the chametz on Erev Pesach in the morning, the minig is that we don't just burn the actual chametz, but we burn the candle, and we burn the feather, and we burn the spoon. And the question is, why? They're not chametz. Chametz, we know, tashbisu, has to be burnt. Why do these items have to be burnt? So I saw that it's based on our Gemara. Our Gemara just said that anything that's used to kill somebody has to be eliminated, just like the person who we eliminated. So too, the chametz has to be eliminated. So anything that was used to help eliminate the chametz also must be burnt, because it's just like anything that was used to eliminate a person who has to be eliminated. So the Paiskim, the Yaivitz, discusses a very interesting question. He says that somebody, a shoichet, once found a knife that was very, very good knife, and he made it into a chalif. He made it into a knife to do shchita with. And then it was discovered that this knife, this sword, was used by the government to execute people. And the question is, can that be used as a knife for shchita? The Yaivitz discusses this question, and he says that this knife cannot be used for shchita. And he says the raya is from our Gemara. That just like our Gemara says that anything that was used to eliminate a person has to be buried, so too here has to be buried. But then there are those that disagree with the Yaivitz, and they say that the our Gemara is speaking about a bezdin. So there's a special halacha that anything that Bezdin used to kill someone has to be buried. Here we're talking about something that wasn't used by a Bezdin. And in fact, I saw that there's a raya in the Sefer Mesa of Rom that the Pasuk tells us in Shmuel, Aleph, Perichov, Aleph, Pasuk, Yud, the Melech, Achimelech, HaKoyin, gave Dovra Melech the sword that of Goliath HaPlishti. So we see that even though Glorious used his sword to kill many people, then we see that it didn't become Osir Bahanor. But the Rabbi Yudah Chosid in the Sefer Chassidim, Simon Tuf Tuf Shin Yud Gimel, says, second, Echad Motz B'Kavish L'Arugim Al-Kiddush Hashem, there was a knife found in a burial place of people who died Al-Kiddush Hashem, Lacha Shonim Rabbis, after many years, Shechofru HaKever, they undug the Kever, Umotza HaSakin, Vrotzalo HaSakin, they found the knife and they wanted to use it. Omar Chochem, B'mokshem Timtzusham Tassimaisoi Val Yenabot. Where it was found, it should be left, and it shouldn't be put anywhere else. The Sefer, Sha'al Sechus Kol Mevaser, says that there was somebody who was a survivor of the war of Holocaust, and he found a string that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, had used to hang Jews, and he made a gartel that some people wear when they daven out of that string. And the question is, are you allowed to daven wearing such a gartel? And he suggests that according to the Yavetz, it would not be permitted.